This is Brother Peter Diamond, VaticanCatholic.com, and there are some individuals who are trying to refute the Sede Vacantis position by arguing that Benedict XVI can only be considered a material heretic. We've addressed and refuted this false argument before, but it's important to emphasize some of the points which show why this argument is false. The first thing that people need to realize is that there's no such thing as a material, quote, heretic. It's simply a term which is used to describe an erring Catholic, a Catholic who holds a position which is at variance with an official teaching of the Catholic Church, but that individual is not obstinate about his adherence to that position, and he would change his position when he was confronted with the true teaching. In the dogmatic language of the Church, there is no such thing as a, quote, material heretic. There are Catholics and there are heretics. You're either on one side or the other. So every time someone says that Benedict XVI is only a, quote, material heretic, think Catholic, Catholic, Catholic. And every time they say he's a formal heretic, think non-Catholic, non-Catholic, non-Catholic. Same thing if someone were to describe someone as a heretic. He's saying that he's a non-Catholic. And so what they try to do is disguise their defense of Benedict XVI's manifest heresies under the term material heretic to make it look like they're actually saying that he is guilty of something, but in reality they're still saying that he's in the body. Either you're in the body of the Church or you're out of the body of the Church. Material so-called heretics are inside the body. They have the faith. Now, Benedict XVI is not and cannot be a material heretic for three reasons. I'm going to show that those who argue that Benedict XVI must be considered a, quote, material heretic are not only arguing that which is absurd, but that which is impossible. First, in order to be a so-called material heretic, one must be unaware of the teachings one is contradicting. Benedict XVI is fully aware of the teachings of the Church, which he rejects repeatedly. He's an extremely learned man. He cites councils in his books. He's very familiar with the whole history of the Church, the councils of the Church, etc. Despite this, he teaches that Vatican I doesn't bind the schismatics and the Protestants. He says that in his book, Principles of Catholic Theology. He rejects the ecumenism of the return. He's a heretic. He knows of this teaching. He rejects it. He says the Council of Trent no longer condemns faith alone and other Lutheran heresies. He's a heretic. He teaches that Jesus doesn't even have to be seen as the Messiah. He's a heretic. And on and on and on. So he knows of the teachings and rejects them. It's a ridiculous argument. The second reason that this is an absurd claim is that the higher the position you have, the more culpability you have. If you are a priest, you are bound to know the faith better than a layperson. Likewise, if you're a bishop, and likewise if you claim to be the Pope. For instance, a typical teaching in canon law manuals will tell you, quote, if the delinquent making this claim be a cleric, his plea for mitigation must be dismissed. Okay, the culpability rises with the office, and so there's no way he's excused. The third point, which shows that this is a ridiculous argument, and this is probably the most important point, is that we know for a fact, without any question, that Benedict XVI cannot be a material so-called heretic, because the positions he adopts and the beliefs he expresses are directly incompatible with the possession of the Christian faith, okay? It is true that you can be ignorant in good faith of some aspects of Catholic dogma, deeper dogmas, etc. But in order to be inside the body, you must have core faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Trinity, the Incarnation, that there's one true God, and that the others are false. For instance, if you really believe that there are 10 gods in one person, you're not a Catholic. You're not a Christian. It doesn't matter if you've ever seen the Council's definitions on the Trinity. You cannot believe that and be in the Church since you lack something that must be believed by a necessity of means. And this is pointed out by numerous dogmatic statements and popes. For instance, Pope Benedict XIV, Cum Religiosi I, June 26, 1754, points out that some people are ignorant even of those matters which must be known by necessity of means. There are some things you must know and believe to be in the Church without exception. In Acerbo Nemus, Pope St. Pius X's 1905 encyclical, he expresses the same truth. He says that many people are condemned to eternal punishment and suffer that everlasting calamity because of ignorance of those mysteries of faith which must be known and believed in order to be numbered among the elect, end quote. You must know certain things to be numbered among the elect and to be in the body. If you believe there are 50 gods, it doesn't matter if you've read the Council of Nicaea, you're not Catholic. Likewise, if you worship at the tomb of Muhammad, as St. Thomas Aquinas says, you are deemed an apostate. If you believe that false religions are good and worthy of esteem, that is incompatible with core faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Trinity, and his necessity. You are not a Catholic. Benedict XVI esteems false religions. That's a fact. That means he looks with favor upon the worship of false gods and idols and devils. He is an apostate. Anyone who says otherwise is defending the devil. This is further proven by Pope Pius XI in his encyclical Mortalium Animos, 1928, in which he speaks of that false opinion which considers all religions to be more or less good and praiseworthy. And he says that not only are those who hold this opinion in error and deceived, but also in distorting the idea of true religion, they reject it. From which it clearly follows that one who supports those who hold these theories and attempt to realize them is altogether abandoning the divinely revealed religion. End quote. He's pointing out that this opinion, on which the false ecumenical movement is based, that these other religions are more or less good, they're not evil, is not just an error, he says, it is tantamount to abandoning the divinely revealed religion. It's incompatible with faith in Jesus Christ, the Holy Trinity, Catholicism. This is further proven by Pope Leo XIII in Satis Cognitum, and in this encyclical he points out the traditional teaching of the Church that the Fathers have taught, and the Church has always held, that those must be considered as outside Catholic communion who dissent from the authoritative teaching of the magisterium. That's the teaching of the Church. If you dissent from the authoritative teaching of the magisterium, you must be considered outside Catholic communion and alien to the Church. If it were not the case, then it would be absolute chaos and a mockery of the unity of faith. And he says, most importantly, that you are not to be looked upon as holding the true Catholic faith if you do not teach that the faith of Rome is to be held. So that's a clear instruction. You cannot look upon someone as having the Catholic faith if that person does not teach that the faith of Rome is to be held. Well, these heretics specifically reject that. They say the faith of Rome does not have to be held. They are therefore not to be looked upon as holding the Catholic faith. Those who teach otherwise are heretics. And therefore, contrary to what some defenders of the Antichrist Vatican II Church teach, you can have definite knowledge that individuals such as this are formal heretics. And this also reminds us of what St. Irenaeus said of when St. Polycarp met the heretic Marcion. Marcion said to Polycarp, "Do you recognize me?" And St. Polycarp replied, "I recognize you as the firstborn of Satan." You can find that in Jurgen's Faith of the Early Fathers, Volume 1, 212. He didn't say, "Well, I can't really judge. I'd have to presume that you might be the firstborn of Satan." No, he said, "I recognize you as the firstborn of Satan." Because Polycarp, unlike the defenders of the papacy and Christ denier, Benedict XVI, had the apostolic faith and recognized that those who reject it must be considered outside the Church and of Satan. Additionally, I would point out that you don't even need definite knowledge to prove that Benedict XVI and those like him must be recognized as outside the Church. And the reason is that the Church goes by the external forum, that which is done in the presence of the Church. And so if someone is a heretic by his external works in the external forum, malice is presumed. As Canon 2200.2 of the 1917 Code points out, when an external violation of the law has been committed, malice is presumed in the external forum until the contrary is proven. And St. Robert Bellarmine, in his discussions of a manifestly heretical claimant to the papacy, says this very thing and points out this principle. He says, quote, "For men are not bound or able to read hearts, but when they see that someone is a heretic by his external works, they judge him to be a heretic pure and simple, and condemn him as a heretic," end quote. And he says this in a discussion about manifestly heretical claimants. He says he must be condemned as a heretic by his external works, regardless of the fact that you can't read into his heart. Furthermore, some claim that, well, you can make that judgment about lay people or others under the, quote, Pope. if they deny the divinity of Christ, etc., they can be considered formal heretics, but not the so-called Pope. No, there's one faith in the church for everyone. It's not like, well, all the people in the church must have the faith, but the Pope can have a different faith. He can be a Jew. Or all the people in the church must have the faith, but the Pope can be a Muslim. Or all the people in the church must have the faith, but the Pope can be Eastern Schismatic. And Benedict XVI, just a few days ago, called a leading schismatic, a high pastor, and a master of the spiritual life, by the way. Additionally, some heretics try to misuse Pope Paul IV, Cum Ex Apostolatus Officio, in which he says the Pope may be judged by none in this world. He's simply illustrating the traditional principle that the first see is not judged. In other words, the Roman bishop could not be called before other bishops and subjected to a trial. He is not saying that a manifestly heretical claimant cannot be considered an anti-pope. In fact, the very bull is that you cannot accept as a pope someone who is a heretic. So that proves that the principle, no one can judge the first see or no one can judge the Pope, is perfectly compatible with the Catholic principle that you cannot accept a manifestly heretical claimant as Pope.